Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today. Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
All right, here we go on a Wednesday. It is Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp. We got JT filling in for Drew the next couple of days. Drew out in West Palm Beach, getting set to break 100 at Augusta. He's got to train in West Palm Beach first, and then then he'll be good to go.
It's important.
At Augusta.
He can't get enough good golf weather here right now.
That's right.
He needed to travel to Florida to make sure he's like the people who live in Jupiter, all the pro golfers who live in Jupiter. He's got to make sure that he's squared away.
Yeah, I think he said he's playing four rounds of golf in 3 or 4 days while he's in West. His brother lives in that area, so hope he has a good time. I'm sure it's gorgeous weather down there, and he'll be back on Monday, I believe. But JT, it's been a bit since we had JT producing.
Former intern.
Yeah, it's been a couple years. We were catching up with him a little bit before the show, so we'll talk to him throughout the show today as well. We appreciate you guys joining us. You guys can watch the show on Facebook, Twitch, YouTube, actually, you name it. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any of the shows. And, of course, on the Jays Southland Tow Service text line, you guys can chime in, 913-586-7965. Coming up a little bit later on today, Josh Vernier, our Royals insider, going to join us at 12:30. And here in about an hour or so, we will be joined by Jason Withington. He's a Clay County commissioner. You guys are well aware what's going on in the Missouri legislature, trying to potentially put together some state funding for the Royals and or Chiefs, or both, I should say. And Clay County site has been mentioned over and over here more recently, but Jason Withington had an interesting Facebook post yesterday about the conversations that may or may not even be happening with Clay County and the Royals. So he's going to fill us in on that coming up around 11:10 today on the show. But we do start with the NFL schedule because tonight's the release show. And we got like 10-15% of the schedule figured out already
based off of a lot of reports.
More than that, And the headline today, of course, is the Chiefs are playing on Thanksgiving in Dallas. Now, yesterday, when we found out they were playing on Christmas, I thought, oh, there's probably no way they're playing on Thanksgiving. And I was wrong. And I was foolish.
You said that a little too confidently.
I was foolish to think that the NFL wouldn't put the Chiefs on every possible day. Now, when we knew the Chiefs were playing in Dallas this year, I remember we had a topic on the show many months ago, and we said, hey, the Chiefs could be playing on Thanksgiving. And we said, well, the NFL might just save that one because Thanksgiving, it could be Cowboys, Giants, Cowboys,
Browns, whatever.
And if people are watching and it's going to do a huge number, why waste quote unquote Cowboys, Chiefs? Well, the answer is, well, CBS wanted it. And so that's why it's on Thanksgiving. But I thought there was a chance they would save that game. That clearly was not the case. So here we go. The Chiefs are playing on it basically every single holiday. And I don't know how you can argue anymore that they aren't America's team. America's team is playing on Thanksgiving. It's not the Cowboys. It's not the Cowboys.
You know, this is going to get played somewhere in Dallas.
That's fun.
Who's going to be deeply offended? Because it's always the same thing. Can't find a cheese fan in every state in the country. I'm like, I think you can now, to be clear. I don't think you'd have any trouble finding cheese fans across the country.
Sure.
They are the single biggest TV draw in the entire league. And that's why, and I don't disagree with you. Look at the TV. Look at the games we know. Right now, this is what we know for the Chiefs. Vaguely.
Yeah.
These are the ones that have been confirmed, at least by the ones that I think are reputable to the level that you're not going to question in any way. They're going to have five games, and I'm sure we know so far, maybe six, but like five for sure. Five games that we know, four of them in primetime, four of them in standalone windows, including Thanksgiving and Christmas, and the Friday after opening night and a Monday night or a Sunday night game, I believe, against them. So, like, okay. And another Monday night one that's being rumored around as well, which would be another standalone, five of six. To your point on Thanksgiving, we're right back in that same thing. Now I'll say, the owners who agree, so, like, Clark, is it the league? Who hates families in Kansas City? Because at this point, you're giving up every single possible window
to kick it
with the fam this year, because that's it. Thanksgiving, Christmas, the whole thing.
I mean, I don't think Clark Hunt had to say that they're playing on Thanksgiving. Yeah, I think the Christmas, I think the complaint would be with the whole Christmas scenario that has now happened for three straight years, potentially. But Thanksgiving, look, you have the Cowboys on your schedule. There is always, anybody will tell you in any market, anytime you're playing at Dallas in any given year, there is a chance you're playing on Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
So I think when that part was known months and months and months ago, there was always a chance of it happening.
That's the fact
that they're on Christmas is why you thought maybe they wouldn't be on Thanksgiving. But again, we now truly, and we kind of got this last year, any key slot the Chiefs have a great chance of being in. Right now, when they are still the best team in football, along with the Eagles, I guess, at this point in time, but consistently the team that gets the best ratings now, and you couple it with the Cowboys, I mean, that's going to be the most watched Thanksgiving game in NFL history. I don't think that's crazy to say at all. They've had massive ratings anyway. It will be, assuming Mahomes is healthy and Dak is healthy, it will be the most watched Thanksgiving Day game in NFL, or night, whatever, late afternoon, in NFL history, just because of what the Chiefs do on a normal game anyway, let alone if the Cowboys happen to be semi-decent, which that's a big wild card with the first-year head coach and Brian Schottenheimer and all that. But like that's just where we're at. And so they're America's team, because if you're telling me the NFL is going to put them on every great slot and every holiday, well, then they're telling you they're America's team. And so, yeah, I don't expect people in Dallas to agree, and I understand the history behind why they're called America's team and everything like that, and they are still a massive, massive brand. But boy, oh boy, if there's in the current era of football, America's team, it's the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, I don't think there's really any way to argue with it. Now, for the same conversation we had yesterday, if you dislike your family or dislike your in-laws or don't really want to talk with anyone, I have great news. Because you don't have to this holiday season. You'll get a chance. You know what? Screw it. Put them on New Year's Day, too, Gold. Let's get the whole thing.
Well,
let's get them on New Year's Day.
They actually might. It's on a Thursday.
They're playing on back-to-back Thursdays?
That would be pretty surprising. But it's the end. Dude, nothing is off limits anymore. We figure this out. Anything that seems to make sense, it does not matter anymore. The Chiefs.
Based on rumors, are already on what? Yeah. Monday, Sunday, Thursday, and Friday?
Yes.
All right. They'll get a Saturday game. Let's not worry our heads about that.
Here's where I'm at on Thanksgiving versus the Christmas game. One, this is on the road, so that's a little bit better, right?
Yeah.
It's a 3:30 kickoff, and everybody has a different personal feel for this, right? Some people have their Thanksgiving meal at 1 o'clock. Some have it at 5 o'clock. Some have it at 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
Our family consistently, I don't know, maybe it'll change this year. Typically, we usually eat at like 4 o'clock. So might need to move that this year. You know, I don't want to be like eating during the game. The difference for me on Thanksgiving, I don't know how you guys operate. I'll watch all three games. And by the way, we'll get to the slate. It's actually a really good Thanksgiving slate this year compared.
Although the Vikings schedule keeps getting weirder.
Vikings, we'll get there. They play the Lions in the early game on Thanksgiving. Rams and Bucks, the evening Thanksgiving game. The Chiefs are in the middle one. I typically on Thanksgiving, we all pig out, right, on food. We'll watch the games, but it's kind of a casual watch.
Oh, yeah, very much.
You're still talking with your family. We're still playing with my nephews or whatever and all that kind of stuff, but you're watching the game. The Chiefs game, we're locked in, baby. We're going to be locked in. There's going to be a little bit of stress, you know, all that. Like, it's just a different feel, and I don't know. That's more of a personal thing, but I know there's other people like that as well that are listening, where it's just you like to just kind of casually enjoy the games, and now you're going to be more stressed out and locked into the game than you would before.
Yeah, and I've had to watch, so, like, my family's Thanksgiving, usually we spend part of Thanksgiving at the actual Thanksgiving day at my wife's family. And my family, for the last maybe 2 years, not like a long-standing tradition, has adopted the Black Friday approach. So last year, during the Chiefs game, my family was having Thanksgiving, and I found myself watching it more casually than I do most Chiefs games as a result of that. But it does throw off the vibe a little. Like, I don't know. There's just some part of it that feels off. And look, I don't think the NFL just hates Kansas City. And
no, they love them. It's the opposite.
Yeah, but it's like,
it's the opposite.
I just got to be honest. This sucks. This is the casualty of being good. So I wouldn't trade one for the other. But I don't like that every year now it's watch a game on Friday, Saturday, Wednesday, Tuesday. If they play on the moon, the Chiefs are playing the game. Like, no matter the time slot, no matter the window, it just is what it is anymore. That's tough.
So the thing is, it's not even the days. The reason why the days mattered last year is because it gave them short rest. I don't care if they don't always play on Sunday. That's not my issue. It's some of the holidays, and then we'll find out tonight when the full schedule's out. What do they do with having to play on the Thursdays? Does that mean they get a bye week late in the year? Right, but you know, is it right before Thanksgiving? Is it right after Thanksgiving? Yeah. You know, that's what I want to know. That's where, from a competitive standpoint, it matters. The fact they play on a Saturday or a Thursday, if they're getting quote unquote fair rest, I actually don't care. And everybody, look, I was texting a family member today as well. Like, everybody has their own personal conflicts with certain things on an NFL or schedule, right? Maybe in week two, you've got something going on at work. You know, you're too busy. You can't go to that game, the opener that is now reported to be the Eagles, right? Maybe you go out of town for Thanksgiving, and so you know that it's just challenging. Maybe on Christmas, you go out of town, and you can't go to that home game if you have season tickets. Everybody's going to have their own, like, rhyme or reason for liking it or not liking it. I understand that. But for me, from a competitive standpoint for the Chiefs, I want to find out tonight, how many of these short turnarounds do they have? Is it fixed from last year? We know Chris Jones publicly late in the season complained and said he was going to go and talk to the NFL Players Association and said that he was going to meet with them and that he was going to at least basically advocate, if you're going to put us on these days and have three games in 12 days, which it looks like they won't have because Christmas is on a Thursday this year, not a Wednesday, so it's easier to schedule, then you got to give us better than a week six or seven bye week, for crying out loud. You got to look at the Chiefs this year.
You got to let us,
and, you know, give them a later bye. For me, like, the number one thing tonight that I'm looking for, other than like, hey, when are they playing maybe Buffalo, or when are they playing in Nashville if you're trying to make that trip, is, all right, to me, the bye week nine or later, and I'm happy. Week nine or later, bye week tonight.
Yeah, I think
please.
It's probably keeping an eye out for it. I think that matters, and I think that's something I'll be paying attention to, obviously. But right now, that doesn't seem out of the question. Right now, there are leaks for weeks 1, 2, 3, 4, and maybe five.
Yeah, we know week one, Chiefs at Chargers, Friday night in Brazil on YouTube. Locally, it'll be on one of the local affiliates. Obviously, the game also will be on 96.5 The Fan, as will every game. Week two, Chiefs, Eagles, according to Jordan Schultz. So the Chiefs home opener will be a rematch of the Super Bowl, 3:25 on Fox and on 96.5. Week three, the rumor, or the report, I should say, out of New York is Chiefs at Giants. Sunday night football. Initially, there was reports on Monday. It's Sunday. Week 13 is what we just discussed, Thanksgiving, and week 17, Broncos, Christmas night. And then, yeah, there's more of a rumor that the Chiefs are playing at Jacksonville week five. That's not, like, confirmed or anything, though.
Like, that's the only thing I ask is that in the fairness of competitive balance, which the NFL prides itself on, if my schedule, like, if I'm the Chiefs, if my schedule every year is a nightmare for a coach like Andy Reid, if we're being honest. A man who has a regimented schedule, who would love nothing more than to play every Sunday at noon for the rest of time. Can I at least get some benefit? Like, for instance, the week two against Philadelphia, you're like, well, you know what? Get a little more time to prepare for Philadelphia. That sounds nice. No, you don't. They actually get more time than you. They play on Thursday.
Well, that's
not
why
in a foreign country.
I think that's why they put this game week two. One, Fox wanted it. It's the afternoon. Burkhart, I almost said Joe Buck, and Burkhart will be on Fox for that call on the TV side. But they did it because in their mind, it's as equal as they can make it from a rest. They're not giving a massive advantage to somebody because it's the only time where one team's playing a Thursday and the other one's playing a Friday. So in their mind, hey, it's pretty darn close. Nobody's really getting much.
Yeah, but one team gets an extra day
and
not traveling to Brazil.
I'm not saying it's like literally equal. It's the closest to equal versus
sure.
if the Chiefs were playing on another week on a Sunday, then it would be even worse. They'd be getting 3-day deficit on the timing of it. So
there'll be a stat out here at some point. We've looked at that before. The net rest.
Yeah.
Remember, at the end of the last season, the Chiefs had the net rest really screwed them over, I guess, schedule-wise. Again, that's the thing. I'm not even pretending. Schedule making is a very, very, very difficult job. And understand that it is. But at the same time, it's like, I think you could probably do a little bit more in helping the teams if you're going to like load it this way. What I'm learning about the NFL, and this is where I think differs from even just 5 years ago, 10 years ago, is that the NFL has adopted the NBA model, which is if we're on a specialty window, which we're doing more and more of, we're giving people a game. If we're on a specialty window, as in we're the Friday after opening day, we're not just putting two schlubs out there. We're putting the AFC West on the docket. If we're on Christmas Day, we're giving you, you know, like before, it's like we're giving you Lakers Knicks. We're giving you two teams that matter. Yep. We're not just messing around. We're putting together games now. They didn't used to always do that. They just figured NFL's the NFL and everyone will watch it, which is a pretty good strategy for the most part. But now they're trying to decide to like restack these, especially if they're standalone, because if Paramount's going to pay a bunch of money, if Netflix is going to pay a bunch of money, if Prime's going to pay a bunch of money, they are demanding as a part of these massive contracts that they get a good football game, not just two teams. It's weakened the Sunday slate.
It has. I will say, though, this can change based on injuries, but the Thanksgiving Day slate on paper looks as good as we've had in a long time. You know, we always know it's Lions Cowboys, but sometimes it's Cowboys Giants. And you're like, and last year was their fourth or fifth string quarterback, I think, playing, or Drew Locke was playing, if I'm not mistaken. You get Lions Vikings, Cowboys Chiefs, Rams Bucks. That looks like a really, really strong Thanksgiving Day slate as it sits on May 14th.
Yeah.
It looks really, really good if those quarterbacks are all healthy for all those teams.
Sure. Yeah, no, that's one of the better, I would say that's one of the better looking Thanksgiving slates I've seen in a while. JT had pointed this out, and I had missed it earlier. The Vikings and the Lions play together on Thanksgiving and again on Christmas. They pay each other for both holidays, and the Vikings play back-to-back international games. You want to talk about a schedule that sucks? That schedule's somehow worse. That was weird. That's a quirky schedule, I would say at least. Why would they want the Lions and Vikings for both holidays? Anybody?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Anybody figure that out? Is that just the way it worked out? That's according to the rumors, obviously. We'll get the full schedule tonight, as you had correctly pointed out. There was one interesting part of the schedule that was pointed out by Adam Schefter yesterday. And I think you and I both found it at least interesting because of the order of the list. So every year during the schedule time, teams love putting this kind of stuff out. So miles traveled in the 2025-2026 season. Poor Chargers, dead last in the league. They got to travel 37,000 miles this year. And then, which is surprising considering they don't have like more international games than anyone else, but they got to travel a bunch, right? You see the Chiefs, they're in the top 10 at 21,000, but pretty much in the mean. Most teams travel between 15 and 20,000 miles. That's probably negligible. The thing that stood out in this is that the teams in the league traveling the least distance in the NFL this year are the Cincinnati Bengals, the Buffalo Bills, and the Baltimore Ravens. The three teams in the AFC who have been vying, trying, begging to try to find any way past Kansas City during this dynastic run that they've been on. Now they're not traveling. It seems a bit peculiar.
What are you trying to say? What are you trying to say?
I think that the NFL is intentionally trying to help Baltimore, Buffalo, and Cincinnati okay. close the gap.
I think what this is the Chiefs are playing internationally. And so that automatically, and those teams are not, if I'm not mistaken.
And right? Their divisions are close. In fairness, you got to remember Cincinnati and Buffalo, yeah. Baltimore and Buffalo.
There's a
little more proximity versus Kansas City's got to travel to LA every time or
and
Vegas.
Just and to, they're going to Brazil. I mean, it makes
yeah,
sense.
Yeah, just to get to some of the
It makes sense why the miles are having that kind of discrepancy between the two. Now, because all the schedules are being released and the networks are trying to promote their big games, it's also a big advertising week for every single platform, right? And they have these big upfront weeks or whatever, right? And they try to have their big stars come out and hype up what they're going to have on their fall lineup, right? Tom Brady was part of it. Joe Buck was part of ESPN's along with Troy Aikman, and they were asked at one point who's going to win the Super Bowl.
And blessed. We got 10 seconds left. Who's going to win the Super Bowl this year?
I'm going to say Buffalo finally wins it.
Oh!
Cowboys.
Oh! Come on. How about that, boy?
Yeah! Aikman say the Cowboys, not surprising.
Come on, Stray. You know better than that. Come on, Troy.
Come on, Troy.
Buck going with the Bills.
Okay.
All right. Can't hate it. Can't hate it.
I mean it's never that bad of a guess, honestly.
Josh Allen was the MVP.
They are consistently one of the, like, you could pretty much bank on, if I just said, all right, Gold, I'm going to give you six teams to win the Super Bowl. You'd take the Bills every year for the last 5 years, wouldn't you? If I just gave you six teams to try to predict the Super Bowl champion, even though they haven't won it, you would still predict them because they're going to be one of the final 6 to 8 teams remaining every year in the postseason. So, yeah, I get it. It did seem a little crummy that the Chiefs have got to travel that much, though. And the three teams that have been the most consistent challengers for them all don't travel at all. Like, they get to just take their little, like, we talk about net rest and all the other stuff, Gold, we were just talking about. Now, in addition to it, they get to just kick it. Cincinnati's the least by far. They're barely traveling at all. They can take a bus practically to their games. I was a little bit surprised by it, but yeah, I don't care. He can choose Buffalo. That's fine. Has Buck correctly predicted Super Bowl champions in the past?
I don't think so. The only person that's done that, well, Pete Schrager's been pretty good about picking Super Bowl matchups and Super Bowl champs. He's got a long track record.
He did have the Chiefs winning, I think, this year for the three.
This past year, yeah.
But he had correctly predicted, I think, the Super Bowl champion 3 years in a row, something like that. So I guess kudos to him for being pretty consistent at it. So I guess I'll pay attention when Schrager chooses, you know? If he says the Buffalo Bills, maybe I'll pay attention. That's all. Outside of that, yeah, I'm not gonna overly concern myself with it. I am finding out, based on if the text line is any indicator of the rest of the world, less fans care about being on all the holidays than us, and that's fine. I'm not saying that, like, there's a right or wrong opinion on it. It's obviously a personal opinion based on,
oh, for sure,
that stuff. That, like, there is no right or wrong answer to, is it okay to keep putting them on every holiday? But I'm surprised less fans don't care. Like, somebody said, why, Gold, you wouldn't rather just, like, lock in with the fam and watch a game? And
I'd rather casually spend time with my family talking about just everything else than feeling like we're all, like, I don't know. Like, I've told you guys, I watch Chiefs games differently than some people. Like,
we take notes and everything else.
Watch with my family, like, I grew up going to Chiefs games with my family. We are pretty intense when we watch the games. Like, it's not just like, oh, shucks, no big deal. Like, we are we are there is yelling while we are watching the game. There are times, even like arguments about what's happening in the game and what they should have done. Like, it's an intense atmosphere at times when we're watching versus like, oh, the Cowboys, they freaking suck. Yeah, whatever. Anyway, hey, what are you up to later on today? Like, we're not those conversations I would rather have than the, like,
you,
I can't believe they did that.
The intensity of game watching for a different game day.
That's all I'm saying. Yeah.
Our family watches a little, like, there are diehard fans in ours, but my family is better at, like, letting it be casual if it needs to be, I guess. Like, I don't think anybody in my family watches with, like, there are certainly more than others, but, like, you know, growing up, we watched probably more with that level of intensity you're talking about. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's remained throughout the years. But also, our fandom is very weird in my family, and there's fans of, you know, like, everybody didn't just...
You have some Broncos fans.
My brother, my dad. My dad was a Broncos fan as a kid, grew up a Broncos fan, so, like, one of the siblings took it on. Nobody else really did. My mom was a Raiders fan, as I told you, growing up. She was born in California. Liked Jeff Hostetler.
What?
By the way, Raiders fan being very casual. She didn't watch it with that level of intensity. She wasn't like a diehard or anything. She just kind of liked the Raiders.
Yeah, someone texted 913-586-7965. And they're like, yeah, the Raiders game kind of ruined Christmas for a lot of people.
That's the other part. It's like, if they win or lose.
Put you in a bad mood. And I know, we'll get a text in a second. Well, if you let football ruin your, you know, you got other issues. Okay, like, calm down. Nobody's like literally acting like that they were physically not able to still open presents. But, like, I think a lot of people would be lying if they didn't act like it changed their mood when the Chiefs got their ass kicked on Christmas a couple years
ago. It's so funny. Based on, like, the teams that have consistently played against Kansas City. So tonight, it's like, all right, what are we looking for? You already mentioned the bye week thing. The other stuff I'm always looking for are the same teams. I want to know when they're taking on the Ravens, when they're taking on the Bills, when they're taking, you know, like, it consistently is a lot of the same teams I'm kind of interested in seeing. This is the first year they haven't played the Bengals in the regular season, it feels like, in a little while.
True.
Because they were nowhere near the top of their division. They're not playing their division, so we don't have to worry about it. It tends to be at least those two games I am always fascinated in. And then, like, the up and coming, like, for this year, I'm interested by the Commanders game for the first time in a long time. When is Jaden Daniels? Is it a Monday night,
Sunday
night?
Too, so I want to go to that game.
Arrowhead slate is incredible this year.
It is a very strong slate at Arrowhead, no doubt. I also think, for me, I don't know if people look at games that you might want to try to go on a road trip. And so the one in Nashville, when is that? Is that early in the year? Is that late in the year? Nashville will be a very popular trip for Chiefs fans. We've seen them fill up Nissan Stadium and just about any stadium these days.
What are you hoping for?
Now already knowing what I I know it's not week one, week two, week three. The rumor is week five is at Jacksonville. So I doubt they're on the road week four. I mean, they could be, but it seems slim. So week six puts you already mid-October-ish. That would be fun. I don't want to, even though Nashville's not terrible in December, but like
mid-October to mid-November is what you're hoping for?
I will not do any road trip past Thanksgiving. I know I went to Green Bay and that was in December, but like I'm not going to do any road trip past Thanksgiving. So if I'm going to do the Nashville one, it needs to be before Thanksgiving.
Okay.
So that's one I'm keeping an eye on. Some people are looking at the Jacksonville one, and that's a trip that people want to make too. But Nashville would be a fun one, I think. You and I are obviously keeping an eye when the Chiefs are playing at the Raiders, because we had our fan / listener happy hour out in Vegas when the Chiefs played the Raiders. And so we're hoping maybe to do something like that again when we're out there. And that is dependent on when the Chiefs play in Vegas. So,
yeah. Okay. I'm just curious what everyone was looking for. JT, did you get to any games last year?
I actually did. I normally don't go to any Chiefs games. I'm more of a guy that wants to sit on the couch, eat my own food, and watch the game. Girlfriend had been begging to go to a game. We went to the Tampa Bay Buccaneer. Was it Monday night?
I think it was a Monday night game, wasn't it?
Overtime game. Kareem Hunt walk off.
Yeah, where Todd Bowles forgot how to know, handle managing.
Also,
a game.
That night I got mono and was down for a month and a half with mono, so that was great.
Wait, you got mono the day?
How old are you?
I am 24. Yeah, don't even. It's so weird how I got the kissing.
24 is a crazy time to get mono. I feel like I don't know.
It was the wildest thing because I was in the hospital for 3 days.
What?
They couldn't figure out.
You went to the hospital. That was that bad.
It was that bad.
Oh wow.
Yeah, I was down and everything, and my dad was up there. My mom was out of town, and all of a sudden, my girlfriend's mom shows up, and about 10 minutes later, they come in and they go, "You actually have mono," and so her mom starts looking at me like, "Oh." Really? I'm like, this is great. I promise you, I've never kissed anyone else. That's crazy. And they were like, well, have you been outside in the rain? I was like, well, it did drizzle.
Outside in the rain?
Drizzled.
Wait, is that, what's the story there behind the rain?
They said that could be the moisture.
Wait,
that
rain
got
can trigger, that can trigger the mono? I didn't know this.
I don't know anything, but they were like, yeah, that could trigger some mono. And I'm like, what?
Really? You can get mono from being out in the rain? Really?
I've been in the rain before.
What?
I don't understand.
What? That's a thing?
Okay.
Someone says mono is more dangerous the older you are.
Oh, well, I hope that makes sense.
I think all diseases are. All infections. Right?
I mean.
But I get it. Like what he's saying. It's like as you're a kid, you're
It says mono or the kissing disease is not directly caused by rain, but the common symptoms of mono sometimes can be mistaken for cold or flu, especially during winter months.
Ways you can get... Are you sure this doctor is not... I've had doctors tell
the
me
the virus itself isn't transmitted by rain. Yeah, I would have thought, but then I got confused when you said rain. Did they just think, were they asking you if like maybe you just had the cold or
it
flu?
It also spreads through coughing and sneezing when people share something like a straw.
Who was the NFL quarterback? Who was the NFL
a...
quarterback that had it recently?
Oh, dude, Sam Darnold.
That's right.
Out with mono.
That's
Don't
right.
you remember the graphic? It was amazing. Yeah.
I knew it was recently. It was Darnold. You're right.
Also says it can be spread through sex or blood transfusions. Did you have sex or a blood transfusion anywhere near the time that you had gotten mono?
Well, I didn't have a blood transplant. I do know that. But
man.
Yeah, it was so weird. Her mom just looking at me. I'm like, oh, this is going great. Yeah, I promise you, I haven't done anything else with any other woman.
Oh, man. All right.
Up next.
Good times.
Let's talk about the big announcement that I think we knew was going to happen after somebody passed away. We'll explain what we mean by that. And there's an early trade target for the Royals, and it's a familiar face.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today. Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
We're just getting started here on a Wednesday. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp with you. We got JT filling in for Drew. He is producing the show the next couple of days. We'll get back into the schedule talk in the 11 o'clock hour. Also, a reminder, coming up at 11:10, we'll be joined by Jason Withington. He's Clay County Commissioner, to talk to him about the latest with the stadiums and specifically maybe the Royals in Clay County. That obviously was the site that kind of gained some new traction recently. But he had a Facebook post yesterday saying that there have not been formal talks between Clay County and the Royals. So we'll get to the bottom of that. Also, right now in the Missouri legislature, up until Friday, there is debate going on about a bill that would allow the state to offer up, you know, $300+ million in funds that the Royals and Chiefs, and theoretically, I think other teams could use.
It had to be a 30,000 seat stadium. So theoretically, yeah, other teams, yeah, is loose, unless the Portland Cardinals.
It's not just a Kansas City thing. My understanding, it's a statewide thing. So,
unless the Portland Trailblazers are coming here.
Real quick on that. Real quick on that.
Yeah, dude, I'm joking.
Quick on that. So I've seen, it's more of a social media thing, I believe, than an actual like everyday conversation. Yeah. But the Portland Trailblazers, their owner had passed away, and it's now the time where the family and the estate, I guess, through his will, basically, like, they're required to sell the team. Like,
yeah,
that was in his will or whatever.
It's like, you guys aren't running it. Just go cash in
Seahawks,
and be done with it.
The Seahawks are part of this as well. So anyway, the Trailblazers are going to be up for sale. And so I saw some people saying, let's find, you know, $5 or $6 billion people or $5 billion for somebody to bring the Trailblazers to Kansas City. We've had the NBA NHL discussions for a while. There is zero chance, nor should there be any discussion about an NBA or NHL team till the Chiefs and Royals in this metro area can figure out what the hell is going on with both the Chiefs and Royals.
Yeah, they can't. I mean,
what are we doing?
You can't very well recruit a new team when you can't even actively say that you've 100% kept your current ones. You and I do not think there's any chance of them leaving the metro area. It is one of the big benefits of, I would say, being in the metro area where you end up being on a state line.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to worry about that. You don't have to worry about that portion of it. You can make that work. But
yeah, that one's just like, we can, let's pump the brakes and pause any future pro team talk until the Chiefs and Royals figure out what the heck is happening and the state of Missouri and the state of Kansas and the city of KC Mo and maybe other cities, KCK, figure out what the heck is going on there. All right. Yesterday afternoon, some huge sports news happened. I say huge because it has been something that anybody that likes sports has either talked about with their buddies, or if you do sports talk radio
all
for a living,
sports debate,
it has always come up. So do you think Pete Rose should get in the Hall of Fame? So yesterday.
So now we're going to find out what people really think. Voters think.
Pete Rose, Shoeless Joe Jackson, and others are now reinstated. They were serving, of course, lifetime bans, in their case, both for gambling. And now they will be eligible through, I think it's like the Veterans Committee or whatever in 2027, to be inducted if they get the required votes. And that is still the big if here. And so everybody has an opinion, of course, on this whole situation. I don't know. You and I have talked about Barry Bonds in the past as well. My whole thing with baseball's Hall of Fame process is one, I think the writers and everybody involved, it's a complete joke, the process.
I think
first
it's
of
an
all.
Ego-driven it's a, nonsense it's, sometimes. There's no it, first ballot.
Yeah, it's a terrible process in how they go about it. But
I love it.
Also, if you are baseball, and I've never had the privilege to go to Cooperstown, it's on the list of a place I'd love to go and see. It is a baseball museum, and it is supposed to tell the story of the game. And I don't know how you can tell the story of the game without having the guys from the steroid era, obviously. That includes Bonds and McGuire, et cetera, Sosa, in there. Now, I've always been in favor of you have a separate wing or on their plaque or whatever, you make mention of, hey, they were accused of or they used steroids, but that they're in it, but it's part of the story of baseball. Uh-huh. And the same thing applies to Pete Rose. I'm not saying you have to think he's a great dude. There's plenty of off-the-field stuff that would lead you to believe he was not. But Pete Rose, in terms of his statistical accomplishments, he is part of the story of baseball. And I always thought, and I think you did as well, most people, for many years when we were having these debates about who should get in, who shouldn't get in, especially around Pete Rose, the thought had always been, hey, look, man, they're not giving you a chance to get in until you pass away. And he did pass away September of 2024.
And now they're going to give him a chance.
And now he's going to have a chance to get in. And I think one day he will get in. I don't know if the first time he has a chance since being reinstated, I think 2027 will be the first time.
Yeah.
I don't know if he'll get in there because there will be a lot of people that say, no, 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 no. I also wonder if people's stance on gambling has softened, all of that. But if we're claiming that Cooperstown is telling the story of baseball, Pete Rose is part of that story.
My entire issue is the holier-than-thou approach that has existed here. Because I think it should be exactly what you say. I don't care if you do a steroid. It doesn't have to be a wing, but if you want it to be a wing, fine too. I think you just tell baseball and you tell it like it was. How it was, what existed. When you go into the Hall of Fame, when you go to Cooperstown, they talk about the dead ball era. You can talk about the steroid era. Pete Rose is coming up too, is like, he has serious statutory rape allegations against him. So there's some like personal conduct stuff that goes with it too. Well, Cap Anson's in the Hall of Fame. He instituted the color barrier. So that guy probably sucked, right? So it's, and not probably, he definitely sucked. The point is that there are awful people that already are in here. Like all of this is just for show. I think these Hall of Fame should largely just be based on what you did as a baseball player. And you can still tell the rest of the story.
Oh, I think you need to have like an asterisk or something there. Yeah.
You can have an asterisk. You can tell the story however you want to tell it. But like it is a part of baseball. The all-time hit leader, the all-time home run leader for a sport that cares about stats are not currently in the Hall of Fame. That's kind of weird. It's kind of weird.
I agree.
That's all it doesn't make a ton of sense. Now, I understood. He had finally just decided I'm going to wait for the last really problematic person to die.
In fairness, it's a lifetime ban, and his life is over. He passed away.
But he could have, like, why not just say that when Shoeless Joe Jackson was alive? Because he didn't want to have to, like, say that while Pete Rose is alive, thus telling the person who wants to be in the Hall of Fame, when you're dead, I'll give you a chance. Mm. Right now, man, no chance. Lifetime as in your life. And so, like, I don't know. I would just tell the story. Like, why are we hiding behind, like, the history of the sport? Just tell all of it.
I think Pete Rose is tougher for a lot of people because you had the gambling element, of course, and then he was so adamant for, I don't know, what was it, 15, 20 years at least, that I didn't do it, I didn't do it, I didn't do it. And then when it came time to make money and sell a book, he admitted to doing it.
Yeah, but never my team. And then I'm like, but can I believe you for years said you didn't do it?
I think the doubling and tripling down and then only when you can make a profit off a book that you admitted, I think that rubbed people the wrong way. And you don't have to like Pete Rose or anything like that, and there's plenty of reasons not to. I think you and I are on the same page, which is the idea of the story of baseball and the statistical accomplishments and all that, it makes no sense to just have these gaps in your Hall of Fame or in your museum, because that's really what it is. So the same thing. I mean,
so in fairness, like
steroids. I mean, truly, all the steroid guys. Bonds, most importantly, should be at McGuire. So they should all be in. But I think it needs to be a separate wing or a separate exhibit, something like that, that says this was the steroid era. The summer of 98, and it explains everything that happened there, and then it explains all the accusations after, and then eventually, of course, a lot of the guys admitted to it. Some of them also had to lie until finally they came clean.
Kurt over the Royals, he correctly pointed out, he said, if you go to the Baseball Hall of Fame, Pete Rose is everywhere in that museum.
Okay.
He just doesn't have a plaque, right, with his name in the plaque room. So it's not that they ignore some of the players who have accomplished the game, but you don't get the bust, right? You don't get the plaque. Your name's not, you're not up there as a baseball.
The example
Hall
everybody
of
in the
Famer,
text line's giving on a tough. Different sport, of course, is O.J. Simpson's in the Hall of Fame. You know, right?
Yeah, like, I just like.
I mean.
Now, in fairness, he was acquitted. I mean, he was definitely accused, that's but true. He was.
And then he wrote a book.
But, you know. I mean, I just think
he's going to get in eventually. I don't know if it's the first time.
I don't know if he'll ever get in. See, honestly, as much as they stand on their high horse now.
See, I think
they never let Bonds in.
I think he gets in eventually. It's not going to happen in 2027. I'll be shocked if it's in 2027, because one thing you were correct on with the hey, you think that they're not going to do it because of Bonds. And that's the thing. If you let Pete Rose in, then how are you not letting Bonds in? And that's where people will really get themselves in a knot, because
well, you cheated the statistical part.
Yeah, they're going to say, well, Bonds did things to help his performance. Pete Rose,
we don't know.
There's still a gray area there. That's the whole debate, right? This is why it's been a fascinating conversation for many, many years, obviously, I'm sure you guys have all had bar conversations with your buddies about this kind of stuff too.
The weirdest part, truthfully, the hardest part I have with like the steroid era, let's separate that for a minute. Like, in my opinion, the betting on the sport is worse, because he denied it for 30 years and then admitted, but then he's like, but I definitely didn't bet on my team. So we can't be for sure that he ever did those things. It's even harder in the steroid era, because the only people we're judging on this are the people who tested positive or the one who showed up in the Balco case.
Yeah.
There are people, I guarantee you.
Of course.
There are people in the Hall of Fame who use steroids. So, like, we're just basing it off of like vibes. That's a terrible way to go about it. And like, it was so prevalent during that era, and some of it, and like, part of it, my issue is that baseball essentially sanctioned it. Baseball knew what was going on and they did nothing to stop it for a number of years. And so like, what now? So like,
I agree.
When they were playing,
that there, I mean, go back to way back. I mean, when Babe Ruth was playing, we don't know science is always ahead of the testing. So we never, let's be honest. Obviously there are some guys that got busted this year too, but
could have been using it in the 80s.
Science is ahead of the testing. So there could be stuff, hopefully not, but there could be stuff that players are using today.
Yeah.
We don't even know quote unquote exists, or they don't have a way to test for it. So that's what's so tricky about it. I also think with Barry Bonds in particular,
he doesn't have a lifetime ban for the text line asking.
No,
he can be voted in whenever.
They just have chosen not to. Yeah. With Bonds in particular, Cody, the interesting thing with him with the steroids is just because you took steroids, it doesn't mean you're automatically just at that level.
Yeah, like, it's
not that magical, okay?
Can't use steroids today and just go hit Urseg tomorrow.
We all know, if you look at the first part of Bonds' career, he was probably on track. He was going to be a Hall of Famer if he didn't do it. He didn't need to.
Yeah, I know.
Did it elevate? Of course, of course. But you have to already be a hell of a hitter to do what he did, even on steroids.
Yeah. It's crazy.
But, you know, I don't expect, this is one of those where everybody has it. Everybody, this argument's been around for so long. Everybody has their opinion and they stuck to it.
Yeah,
you had that opinion 10 years ago. You probably have it today.
I haven't moved a ton on it.
It's
if
one
we're
of
being
those.
Honest.
I always had thought though that when Pete Rose passed away, then there's a real conversation that he might actually get in. And I think there will be one. I don't know if it's going to happen in 27.
We'll talk more about the Royals game last night and the frustration of giving up the walk-off homer to end it, and some of the things that you're going to place and what we're looking for with Lorenzen today. But over at Royals Review, Gold, I saw an early trade target for the Royals, right?
Okay.
We've already seen some of the potential of, like, would they trade away Michael Lorenzen? Now, this is a corner outfield bat. Let me just ask a question before I tell you the name. Do we all agree that the Royals are in need of a power-hitting corner outfielder? We all agree. Everybody in the text line agree that the Royals need a power-hitting corner outfielder. The early trade target mentioned over there was Ryan O'Hearn. Thoughts? Feelings?
No.
Emotions?
No.
He's hitting .303 this year with a .395 on base percentage.
You know,
he's played 30 games. He hit .264 with a .334. Since leaving Kansas City, Ryan O'Hearn has been very productive as a major league player.
Yeah.
Not just because he plays in Baltimore. His road splits are also pretty good.
Mm-hmm. So
not interested, huh?
So
he's been a four war player since he left Kansas City.
Good for him. He got out of Kansas City and he's figured things out. Very happy for him. Bro Hearn, shout out to him. You're blocked by him. You did something wrong to him. I've been a big supporter of his. But I have a firm stance. This is one of those, and you disagree with it, but I have a firm stance, and this applies to the Chiefs for the most part, too. Once you leave, and we have made a decision to either DFA you or trade you, I'm kind of out. And
I don't have a hard and fast.
I'm not saying organizations don't do it. The Royals have brought back Zach Greinke before. I'm not saying it never happens. I'm telling you, I would never do that. I wouldn't operate that way. And this applies to Ryan O'Hearn as well. I'm not bringing him back. And if I'm Ryan O'Hearn, I also wouldn't want to come back. That organization, it didn't work
out
well.
Fans were not kind to Ryan O'Hearn.
Whether you didn't buy into what they were trying to get you to do, whether they didn't give you the advice in coaching that you needed and you found it somewhere else, I wouldn't want to come back here if I was Ryan O'Hearn. No, I'm good. Thank you very much. There's got to be another option out there down the road.
Well, other than CAGs, and I wore the CAG shirt today. Should I just do one of those things like day one of wearing this CAG shirt until I'll just wear this same shirt? This shirt, I'll wash it. I'm not a monster.
You sure?
I'll just wear the CAG shirt every day until they at least promote CAGs to AAA. I'll consider that. That was not an actual threat yet.
I'm good.
So you don't want Jorge Soler either because he's another
not
corner
interested. Same thing applies there.
Will be available.
Same thing
in the trade market.
And I know it's easy to sit here and say, "Well, anybody but Hunter Renfro." I get it. I can already see the text coming in. I'm sure if I were to pull up the text line, Hunter Renfro, that whole thing will be taken care of soon enough. Okay, doesn't mean they have to bring in Ryan O'Hearn.
I mean, it worked with Kareem Hunt, okay. Slightly different circumstances. I'm just pointing out that it worked out okay.
Mm-hmm.
It was not the worst case scenario, that's all.
Why would you want to bring Jorge Soler in?
He's
the worst defender.
I wouldn't.
I actually feel like
he'd be DHing. Yeah.
I got to say, I actually owe the Royals a little bit of an apology on Ryan O'Hearn. Because there was a long stretch of time where I had said, like, what are you seeing here? Like, what am I missing here? Britton Rooker's another one. What am I missing here with O'Hearn? Because you guys keep playing him, you keep putting him in the field, and I'm not seeing it. The results are not there. Since leaving Kansas City, it's like, oh, that guy's, I mean, since leaving Kansas City, he's a .278 hitter with a .360 on base. That sure would be nice in the corner outfield right now.
Yeah.
Britton Rooker, another guy they traded for, has been really
so that's
good
different,
since leaving.
Though. He's a minor. He was not in the big league.
For a cup of coffee.
I'm talking about guys that were 50 or 60 games,
but that might be high.
I'm talking about guys that were on the team for a year or more and actually a contributor. You trade them away and then you bring them back. I'm out on that. Not somebody that was in the minors or somebody that played a handful of games.
They traded for Britton Rooker.
What was the actual number of games that he played with the Royals big league club?
14.
Okay, so that, come on. Yeah, cup of coffee, literally.
All I'm saying is that, like, they seem to have an eye for power-hitting corner outfielders that could work, but they never work for them. So is it just Kaufman? Kaufman's a dead zone of power-hitting corner outfielders, and the second you come here, no mas? Like, you leave town, and you're like, well, screw it. I can actually get it out of this minor league park and wherever the hell they are.
I'd like to test this theory with Juan Soto. Well, I'd like to test that theory, Cody.
See if it doesn't work. There? Well, the real true test is if they DFA Hunter Renfro and he picks up with another team and starts slugging it out of the park.
Well, he probably will for a week or two.
Because that's what they were trying there. Like, you know, outside.
No, Hunter Renfro's headed down, unfortunately, the Hunter Dozier path, I think, for him.
Dude, Brent Rooker left Kansas City. He played 14 games here. They shipped him off to Oakland at 28 years old. He just went off to there.
Yeah, he's been very good for
them. And they traded him for, I don't know, Brent Maurer or Rooker, or maybe that was the trade before. I don't know. It doesn't matter. Buchter and Maurer.
Okay.
So one of the trades, either that got Brent Rooker here or sent Rooker away, was the Maurer-Buchter trade, I believe, in that year. But
text line says, Cody, you're going to probably take credit for fixing all her. You're going to claim you had a song ready to go before he left.
Dude,
and you just never got to sing
blocked.
It.
And also, I was very critical of Ryan O'Hearn's play
officially
pretty
blocked.
Much the entire time he was here. I did not think he was a good baseball player. I was wrong.
He's an okay
baseball player.
Whenever he got a hit, I just tweeted out Bro Hearn with a photo of him. Yeah. That was it. Dusty and I were big fans of Ryan O'Hearn. I just don't want him back in Kansas City. It's nothing personal.
Rooker hit 39 homers last year and had 112 RBI. He hit 30 the year before. So, like, the eye was not bad. Like, they're okay at identifying, it appears. Like,
we've discussed this with other...
They don't just come here and hit.
We've discussed this with other players. Yeah, been pitching. Sometimes the old change of scenery. They listen more maybe somewhere else because they realize their career is in jeopardy or they just don't get good coaching. But sometimes, I mean, look at Cole Reagans, Cody, on the positive end of it. They saw something, they got him to buy in, and he tweaked it, and Cole Reagans has been unbelievable since they acquired him in Kansas
City. They're
doing
a great job identifying pitchers that aren't working in other organizations or are middle of the road in other organizations and turning those into guys. Absolutely. Absolutely. It's just funny that, like, they've had, like, multiple examples here recently of guys who have left the organization and seem to be better at hitting the second they leave the organization. And look, it's only a couple. I'm not saying it's like every guy who's left, because Khalil Lee was a guy they traded away in AAA that people thought were going to be.
There's a lot that goes into it. There's a lot. Is development and coaching part of that equation? Sure. Is it 100% the reason why? No. I truly think sometimes you have players that they realize, like, their career's about to be done if they don't try anything, right? And they're more receptive to coaching or other things once they are traded from an organization that drafted them.
I did look it up. I was curious. For Britt Rooker, they traded him to the Padres. He eventually ended up as an A. They got Cam Gallagher back.
Okay.
For Britt Rooker. So, like, obviously he just didn't work out in that regard. But he was a part of the original... he was a part of some other trade when he got here in Kansas City. Who knows? Like, baseball's weird. And sometimes people just show up. Oh, he's just claimed off waivers. I'm sorry. They traded Cam Gallagher to the Padres for, well, I mean, whatever.
Catcher. All right. Coming up next, we're going to talk a little bit about the Royals. Great pitching again last night and how close Bobby Witt Jr. was to hitting one out of the ballpark. And then we'll talk some stadium news. The latest out of Clay County. We'll talk with Jason Withington, the Clay County Commissioner, next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.